Penguin Random House Audio presents Critical Role, Vox Machina, Kith and Kin, by Marika Nykamp and Critical Role. Read for you by Robbie Damon, with Laura Bailey and Liam O'Brien. To siblings in all shapes and forms, whether by blood, by choice, or by shared stories, and to my sisters, with love. Prologue, 12 years ago. The people of Byroden rarely ever left their town. Travelers who passed through on their way to glory, riches, or certain death in the Rifen Mist were welcomed with warmth and sent on their way with good wishes. But seldom was their example followed. Most people who made their home in Byroden didn't feel the call of curiosity or the need to traverse untrodden paths. They carved out their lives between the glade pools to the north and the endless plains and rolling hills to the south. And they were happy. They caught fish in the pools and worked the land of their ancestors, while their homes and hearts held the history of the town. From the notches in the walls that showed generations of children growing taller, to the stories told around the hearth, with mirth and merriment, to the small but tenderly cared for cemetery at the edge of town. Life in Byroden followed the cycles of nature and life. On rare occasions, younger townsfolk, who were cursed with wandering feet, did leave to find their fortune in the cities, to far-off Iman, to take to the Osmit Sea, or to study at the city's temples or academies. To Kaimal, if their desires were of a more questionable nature. But those wanderers were few and far between, and more often than not, eventually they returned. It was a simple life, and, according to the adults who lived there, it was a good life. But the children of Byroden played at adventure. They ran after travelers until they couldn't keep up with the horses anymore. They used sticks for swords and staffs and reenacted every bedtime story ever told to them. They pretended the ore being extracted from the mines outside of town was not simply metal, but pure magic, far stronger than that of Mistress Farah, the gnomish healer, or that of old Wenric, the musty halfling owner of Byroden's Bliss, the local tavern, with its single guest room that thrived on foolhardy wanderers. They saw mystery and wonder in every corner of their hometown. And whenever a traveler passed through Byroden, word among the children spread like wildfire. Regardless of chores, lessons, or bedtime, they immediately gathered to see what was happening. So on that day, when a well-dressed elven man with long, dark brown hair and heavy bracelets around his wrists rode through the town with the setting sun at his back, glancing curiously at the houses around him, Fina was the first to see him. She dumped the oats she was carrying into the goat's trough and looked around until she spotted Tim, working in his parents' hayloft. She curled her fingers around the copper wire flower hanging from her necklace, pointed in Tim's direction, and let him know they needed to gather. Tim shouted down to alert his younger brother. His younger brother raced across the street to collect the farrier's daughter, and the farrier's daughter threw a crumpled note through the open window of the butcher's attic, where his eldest son sat practicing his letters. So the word rushed through town, weaving through muddy streets, echoing from one person to the next, until it reached a pair of wayward half-elven twins, who'd escaped their mother's notice and had spent the afternoon tracking near the glade pools. They both had dark brown hair, fine features, and simple but well-made clothes. They were not yet 10, and convinced they were invincible. 2 days ago, the boy had overheard old Wenric mutter about a boggle, a mischievous creature near the pools. And so he'd talked his sister into tracking down the creature and capturing it. After all, a trophy like that was sure to impress the other children, and perhaps they could even entice the boggle to play some act of mischief on Padraic, the town's grumpiest farmer. But despite the boy's quiet feet and the girl's piercingly keen eyes, they'd run around in circles for hours, feeling for all the world like they were the ones on the wrong side of the creature's mischief now. With dusk settling in, the boy kept glancing around at the rustling undergrowth, shivering at the yawning wind around them. Although he and his sister were alike in many ways, he appeared far less at ease amidst the trees and their lengthening shadows. And while he had been the one to bring up the boggle, that was miles on muddy ground ago.
"Are you sure it exists?"
asked the girl. She wore her long hair bound back in a braid, and she absentmindedly tugged at the leather cord that held it in place, causing a few strands to slip out. With her feet planted firmly on the marshy soil, she looked at ease. She looked like she belonged here.
"I'm sure I heard Wenric talk about it,"
the boy replied, sullenly but unable to back down. The boggle and the opportunity to play pranks still outweighed his discomfort, even if they did so barely.
"Fine,"
the girl rolled her eyes.
"We'll keep looking."
She pushed a stray strand of hair out of her face and crouched down in a narrow clearing where she thought she'd last seen the boggle's tracks. The ground here was uneven, with gnarly tree roots digging through the earth like fingers clawing for purchase, and a dusting of leaves everywhere. A nearby twig had broken off at an odd angle. Something had disturbed the dirt underneath. After a moment, the girl reached out and traced her fingers over the nearest root, leaving a thin, oily coat of ooze on her fingertips. She smelled at it and grinned. The boy gagged when a branch snapped, then another. The leaves around them rustled, and heavy footsteps came their way. The girl lurched to her feet while the boy grabbed the small knife he'd stolen from the kitchen that morning.
"Vex! Vex!"
A third person stumbled into the clearing. Neither boggle nor marshland creature. It was the baker's eldest boy, Duncan. With his bigger-than-most-halfling stature, he made enough noise to scare every animal and creature in the vicinity away from them. Duncan came to a halt in front of the twins, putting his hands on his knees and trying to catch his breath.
"Visitor," he breathed. "Come quick."
The boy, called Vax, tilted his head, the boggle already half forgotten by the promise of mysteries back home.
"Someone interesting?"
"You scared away everything around us,"
the girl called Vex snapped, folding her arms and accidentally smearing some of the ooze on her light blue sleeves.
"I had a trail. I was close to finding that boggle."
"Why not?"
her brother immediately shot back.
"Were two?"
Duncan straightened, but still sounded winded.
"An elven man," he said. "Looks like royalty or something. All fancy robes and sparkling bracelets. And his nose in the air. He was on his way to old Wenric's when I ran out here."
"What does someone like that want in Byroden?"
Vex demanded crossly. Vax put the knife back in his belt.
"I don't know, but we're going to find out."
He reached out, brushed the ooze off his sister's shirt, and offered her a crooked smile.
"Unless you want to keep walking in circles."
"We weren't walking in circles. I know these woods."
She slapped his hands away. Vax shrugged. The knowledge that they'd soon be out of here made it easier to be nonchalant.
"I've seen this tree at least 3 times, so unless it up and moved, we were."
"Next time, you can track if you're so clever."
Duncan cleared his throat.
"Are you coming, or are you going to argue all day?"
"We're coming,"
Vax said, while at the exact same time his sister snapped.
"Both."
"I didn't see any weapons or supplies on him," Duncan said,
entirely too used to the twins' bickering and far too preoccupied by the stranger. "He looked like he was dressed for market day and not for survival."
"Maybe he knows magic,"
Vex suggested, despite herself. The travelers who passed through Byroden to the Rifenmist
Sample complete. Ready to continue?